from the Seven, Relics' weekly news podcast chronicling three of our biggest news stories from the past 7 days. My name is Rafaela Kenny-Sincotta. I am the associate editor at the wonderful, fantastic Relics magazine, and I am joined by a special guest host this week, Karina, not here, but who is assistant Relics editor, Jake May.
Hello, friends, and likely my family, because they will listen to this. Even though they won't understand most of it, but they're very supportive.
Yeah. So it's the same way my mom listens to every episode and she has no idea what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah. My mom will hear the peach festival and will say something like, "Oh, we should go down. I bet they have very fresh peaches." Prepare that joke. So off to a good start.
It's like, thank you, thank you. You've been a wonderful audience.
Yes, and I'll never return again.
Well, worry not, dear listener, although Jake is already slaying it. Karina will be back next week. She is busy tearing it up on the West Coast with Mr. Marco Benevento, but she did find the time to send us a little audio clip, so roll the clip.
Yo, 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 it's your girl, Karina. I'm out here on tour going from Marin County all the way up to Arcata. I'm in the van with the band. Everybody says hi. Everybody say hi.
Yo, what's going on? It's Marco Benevento. Party with Karina Reichman.
Yo, we got reggae air horns. We got it all. We're getting out at exit 551 for some In-N-Out burger. But I miss Raph. I miss you so much. You are the Dave Patch to my Bill Walton. And we all know how true it is. And how sweet it is. You know what I'm saying? Anyway. Let me tell you, 1972, the Cow Palace, Jerry Garcia. Yeah. Oh, he opened. Anyway, we're doing great out here. What's going on? So, yeah, Marco Benevento tour rolls on tonight, playing Arcata.
Oh, yes.
Then man. Eugene, Oregon. Then Bend, Oregon.
You know what I'm going to find for you tonight, Karina?
What, Marco?
I'm going to find you a hemp choker.
Oh, God forbid. That's
And then I'm going to get you a hemp leash for your dog that I'm going to find for you here in Arcata.
Yo.
Yeah.
That's good band leading right there.
Yeah.
Raph, I'm going to bring you back a hemp choker that I just found. I don't know. Somebody must have given it to me. It's a crunchy vibe out here, you know. It's going to be great. We're going from the posh vibes of Mill Valley to the, you know, four dogs per head of Arcata. So it's going to be great. I miss you, New York City. We'll see you next week. Raph, keep it surreal. Three from the Seven. You've been great. I've been Karina. Take care.
Well, thank you so much, Karina, for sending us regards from the West Coast, Best Coast. But we are here on the East Coast, Beast Coast, and there is much to talk about.
Indeed.
Our first story of the week. There is the only thing to talk about, Jake. We're a couple of fish heads in a room, and where does the conversation veer but fall tour? You
yes.
Into every show, so give me the rundown here.
I did miss Pittsburgh.
Okay.
It was in the middle of the week, and it happens to be 6 hours away, and so they didn't allow me to go, but, you know, that's fine. Yeah, so I was at 7 of 8 shows. Yeah, 8 shows were on the tour. So I thought the tour was solid. You know, it's Fish. I love every show. I would rather be at a Fish show than any other concert and most other events in general. But
birthdays, christenings, none
of
it.
Yeah. Birthdays are way overrated. But anyway, I thought that it was similar to this summer in that there were many standout moments, but few big time standout shows that will be talked about for years. I mean, we got one this summer with Alpine Valley, which I was also lucky enough to attend. And then another one, Camden Sunday night. These are during the summer. But this fall, I felt like, in general, the band, obviously probably the big story of the fall were two things. One, they didn't repeat any songs during mm-hmm. 8 shows, which is impressive, although they obviously did that before for 13 nights during the Baker's Dozen. And then the other one was that they played a very small show at the Met in Philadelphia for only 3,500 fans, their smallest show since the Roseland Ballroom in 2000, if I remember correctly, which I think I do.
Although some fact nerds may say that a, like, you know, Letterman taping or
yeah,
something.
Yeah.
But we're not counting those.
That doesn't really, in my opinion, those actually don't count because they're not two set Fish shows.
Agree.
So whatever. But anyway, so I thought that as we've been discussing in the office, while at the dozen, the no repeats thing really brought out the best in the band. They were able to surprise the crowd with crazy cover choices or big time bust outs. And then because they had so many nights, they were doing huge jams as well. During this tour, it seemed like while there were definitely some bust outs, which we may talk about, in general, they seemed like they wanted to prove that they could play so many different unique songs over the course of eight shows with no repeats, rather than use the no repeats to uplift the music. And I thought that was particularly evident during the tour closer in Charleston. And if we want to take a look at that set list, you could see the second set was chock full of songs that many Phish fans, not all, and, you know, if you love these songs, I'm happy for you. I wish I were you, honestly. But many of the songs were not particularly sought after, besides the opener, particularly After Midnight, which they haven't played since 2015 at Dick's in Colorado. But then the rest of the set was sort of a lot of 3.0-y sort of stuff, Stealing Time, Soul Planet, I Always Wanted This Way. And if any of those were jammed huge, like a 15-plus minute jam or even 20 minutes.
I mean, we saw that with like Ruby Waves, right? Where it's like, you know, I don't think anyone before that amazing Ruby Waves over the summer was saying, oh, God, I hope they play Ruby Waves. But
exactly.
Now it's a major jam vehicle for the band.
And I can say, what, having been at that show, they played Mercury to open the set, I believe, and it sort of got ripcorded into Ruby Waves. And everyone was like, oh, here we go again. Like Trey putting his songs ahead of the jams. And then all of a sudden, 40 minutes later, everyone's favorite song was Ruby Waves. So, but with this, like, you know, they didn't really jam much. And then they ended up playing Petrichor late in the second set, which, you know, that's an impressive, beautiful composition. I'll say that now. But to me, and this is just one person's opinion, it doesn't really fit well in a Phish concert, particularly late in the second set and particularly on a Sunday night tour closer. So that was a little bit of a disappointment, but then again, it was a Phish show. And of course, in the encore, they managed to pull a couple of crazy things out, playing Isabella and also crazily playing Chalk Dust Torture Reprise, which is like barely even a real Phish song.
Yeah. The third appearance ever, last played in July of 2000, a 524 show gap for the Chalk Dust Reprise. And also nodding back to the original Chalk Dust of the tour, which was at the Met in Philly.
Yes, yes. So that was really wild, and I was obviously felt lucky to have been there for that. But it did almost feel like they were sort of winking at the fact that they had played a bunch of songs in the second set and wanted to sort of throw some crazy stuff in at the very end. But then again, you know, it was still a fun Phish tour. Always impressive to see how many different songs they have. It's really just crazy. That's sort of my take on the whole, on the tour.
Yeah, so it's interesting because unlike Jake, who went to seven shows and missed one, I went to one show and missed seven.
Yeah, right.
With the exception of maybe, I think I couch toured the first night of Charleston, which was a great show.
Yeah,
there was
very
Lizards
fun
in there. They jammed out of Destiny Unbound. Jake, you were there. You know, it was amazing.
It was very cool.
Overall, I think it was obviously, you know, a great fall tour. It's, as you said, always good to see the band out and about. I'm very excited for the MSG run. I think there's a lot of stuff still on the table. Unlike Baker's Dozen, as you had said earlier, I think maybe Phish realized halfway through this tour, like someone whispered in their ear, like, you guys haven't repeated a song yet.
Right.
Which then I think kind of steered the ship a little bit,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to something like Baker's Dozen, where they went into it with a lot of strategy and a lot of set list preparation.
Absolutely.
But overall, I think they're like primed and ready for MSG. There's a lot of stuff to do. There hasn't been a Colonel Forbins. There hasn't been a Harpua. And obviously we're all
True.
Hoping for something like that. But who's to say, you know? The Phish are alive and well, and
yes.
as long as they keep jamming, I'm happy.
Yeah, same here.
Before we move on, Jake, any last thoughts about Fall Tour, having, you know, had your boots on the ground for such a long time?
Just because we didn't talk about the Met at all, I will just say that having been fortunate enough to have been there, it was really made me even more jealous of people who were seeing Phish earlier on in their career, because to see a band with that much energy and to know that they had even more energy arguably earlier in their career in 1.0 in such a small venue with such rabid fans, it was really the environment and the atmosphere was something else. And so this is all just to say that while we're definitely lucky that Phish is still playing, it would be cool if they could play smaller
right?
venues.
It'd be cool if I had a time machine.
Yes.
Man.
If I had a time machine, I would go back in time and do nothing productive, only go see legendary Phish shows.
It's It's like diplomacy, no thanks.
No.
Curing
world
diseases,
peace, whatever.
No thanks.
Put me at 1229.94, exactly, please.
Dude, like Colorado 88, brother.
Yeah.
And then I'll also say one last thing, that I was at Nassau, and similarly, yeah, if I could have been at Nassau in 98, I can't even believe the rowdiness that would have happened, because that venue was truly overtaken by Fish fans.
Yes.
But as we move on in the wonderful world of Three from the Seven, we have an ad read this week. I want to let you guys know all about the new Jimi Hendrix box set, Songs for Groovy Children, the complete Fillmore East concerts. On New Year's Eve 1969 and New Year's Day 1970, 6 months after the Experience had taken their final bow and 4 months after Woodstock, Hendrix took the stage at Bill Graham's Fillmore East in New York for 4 sets with a brand new band. It featured Hendrix, his old friend Billy Cox on bass, and Electric Flag co-founder Buddy Miles on drums. They played a new set of tunes marrying Hendrix's guitar heroics to more soulful, funkier musical ideas and lyrics. And though the group broke up just a month later, their material anticipated bold steps that Hendrix was set to take before his tragic passing in 1970. Songs for Groovy Children, the complete Fillmore East concert, presents all 4 of those historic sets in their entirety. It's available on digital as a 5-CD box set and a really, really nice 8 LP, 180-gram vinyl set that I have my eye on for Christmas. So grab it now on AuthenticHendrix.com, Amazon, or anywhere you stream music. Jake, you think you're going to grab this Hendrix box set?
I would if I had a vinyl, I guess.
Oh, you don't have a record player?
No, because my... I don't know if this is worth the pod, but my dad had like a massive record collection, a record player, and then when he went away to college, his mom threw all of it out because she was cleaning out their stuff.
Ugh.
So I could have all these sick records, but I don't anymore. But maybe this will spur me to, because I really love, I mean, like many, I really love Jimi Hendrix, and this sounds like an incredible box set. So maybe that will, maybe I'll buy that along with a record player.
Perhaps. Your dad's record collection had some Talking Heads in it, and the Talking Heads are back in the news. Jerry Harrison of Talking Heads, of course, and the band's longtime collaborator, Adrian Belew, are going to tour 40 years of Remain in Light with Turquoise. It's a huge story. They've got dates at Floyd Fest in Virginia, Electric Forest in Michigan, and the Peach Fest in Pennsylvania, which we'll get to in a little bit, because there's plenty to talk about with Peach.
Indeed.
But it's exciting stuff. I mean, Harrison had said that the reason he wanted to start playing Talking Heads tunes is because he was working with Turquoise in the studio. He produced their song On the Run, and they kind of got motivated. I mean, Turquoise has said that they're highly inspired by Talking Heads.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. I have, to be honest, I haven't seen Turquoise many times, but the couple of times that I have caught them, their sound is definitely suited for a Talking Heads tribute such as this. And also, like, each of the members in that band are such great musicians, and you need to have that if you're going to be doing Talking Heads stuff, because even though their music sort of, in my opinion, sometimes sounds sort of straightforward, it is not, and it's really difficult to play well. And so I think this is a great pairing, and I'm hoping to catch, you know, at least one of these performances.
No
sure.
doubt. The cool thing too is also that Turquoise just recently kind of revamped their look, timed perfectly, coincidentally, wink wink, with this new collaboration with Jerry Harrison and Adrian Belew. They ditched the multicolor thing and are now doing their quadrichrome to go with their quadrichrome EP, kind of a 4-color brown, black, khaki, white thing. It's a mature look with the same funky sound. It's exciting stuff, and Talking Heads just launched a new Instagram account, which has a lot of people talking.
That was a bizarre sort of development in this whole thing, because I think there were... I may be mistaken, but I think there were sort of rumors of a potential Talking Heads, at least miniature reunion or something. And then when this news dropped, people were thinking, oh, like, maybe not. Like, why would Harrison do this if they were going to just be in the Talking Heads? And then all of a sudden, like a couple of days later, there was a Talking Heads official Instagram that follows like all of them. So I'm interested to see where this goes. Maybe these will turn out to be warm-up shows for Harrison.
That'd be very cool. And the thing is, David Byrne is out there. He's loose. He's ready. He's got his Broadway show right now. He was supporting American Utopia on tour for quite some time. The really interesting thing would be if David Byrne shows up at one of these shows, because the stage is set. They've got a backing band of incredible musicians and singers, Shira and Sammy as kind of like the backing vocalists, Jerry Harrison, Adrian Belew. If Byrne kind of just strut up on stage, if they played like a Central Park summer stage show and suddenly David Byrne shows up,
oh man,
that would be one hell of an experience. So make sure you see this Talking Heads Remain in Light 40 years thing. I'm sure they'll announce a full tour, a couple of festival dates so far.
Mm-hmm.
One of them being the Peach Festival, which draws us to our third story
Speaking
of the week. Let's just take a look at this lineup, Jake, mm-hmm. because the Peach Festival is unreal this year.
Yes, that is definitely the unbelievable was the first word I thought, because I literally can't believe that all of these acts are on the lineup. So yeah, do we want to run some of them down?
Yeah, like point out some of your highlights, okay. Jake. Well, like, who do you think is really like the bread and butter?
Okay, here? So obviously top billing we have Oysterhead, which is of course Trey Anastasio of Phish, Les Claypool of Primus and other bands, and Stuart Copeland of The Police. And they're making their long anticipated return to the stage this year. I forget exactly when their first performance is.
I think they have those Colorado shows that have yet to happen.
Those are in like the spring. Mm-hmm. So they'll be warmed up, I suppose, by the time the Peach rolls around, and maybe
Lock,
there'll be some
and barreled, ready
yeah,
to go.
Maybe there'll be some more dates in between them. And I definitely will be most excited if I'm lucky enough to attend the Peach to see them, just because they occupy a weird space in my musical mind. Like, I don't know their music that closely, but I do know the music of each of their members very closely. Mm-hmm. Like, Phish is my favorite band. I love The Police because my parents sort of loved them the most when I was growing up. And then Primus, also a very weird band, but I love them as well. So it'll be crazy to just see all three of those guys on the same stage.
I just think it's a testament to the fact that Oysterhead is such a super group where they can create such... It's their music is not easy to access.
No.
It takes some intense listening. It mm-hmm. takes some open-mindedness. I was talking to a friend of a friend over the weekend during the Phish stream, actually, and we were talking about the Peach lineup and how amazing it is and how Oysterhead takes the top notch above everybody else.
Yeah.
And it's funny because he's not necessarily not huge into Oysterhead and finds the music hard to listen to, which honestly is kind of part of the point. It's art with a capital A.
True.
He listens to more accessible jams, and it was funny where he was kind of like, oh, like Oysterhead on the top line, you're gonna do Cheese dirty like that.
Yeah.
And String Cheese returning to Peach this year, they got multiple sets on the bill. Yep. I don't think they're complaining that Les Claypool, Stuart Copeland, and Trey are ahead of them on the lineup.
I can't imagine they are.
But certainly an Oysterhead set and two sets of String Cheese are going to be far different musical experiences.
Yes.
But I just found that so funny. Yeah, just like, man, you're gonna play SCI dirty like that.
Yeah, they're like opposites in my mind. Almost.
Oh, totally opposites.
Like, I remember when I first found out that the String Cheese incident existed, I asked a friend who was more into jam bands than I was at the time, like, who are these guys? Like, what's their deal? And he was like, Cheese is for everyone. Like, you can bring your parents to a Cheese show.
100% yeah. true.
And I definitely wouldn't bring my parents to an Oysterhead show, even though they love The Police.
Oh, so, yeah. Like, there's going to be a lot of turned off Police fans, which I like that. It's kind of that dark scariness. I love when Phish does stuff like that, when mm-hmm. it's really dark and really scary. Primus is obviously the expert at that.
Yes.
It's a great opportunity to just show people weird music. More mm-hmm. America needs more weird music.
Yeah, I agree. Going further down the bill, I guess another multi-set band that's playing is Joe Russo's Almost Dead. And interestingly, they'll be having O'Teal Burbridge with them on bass, which is very exciting. I've seen J-Rad a few times, but I've never seen them play with O'Teal.
Me either.
So that would be also very, very cool because he's one of my favorite bassists, as is Dave Drywitz, unbelievable player. I would not be less excited for J-Rad if he were there, but it is cool to have O'Teal featured.
I think that means kind of Allman Brothers stuff is on the table for
J-Rad. Sure.
At their recent headcount benefit at Brooklyn Bowl, they busted out because of people voted for it in memory of Elizabeth Reed. Mm-hmm. So they certainly have the musical aptitude.
Absolutely.
Nobody's ever doubting that when it comes to J-Rad. And then O'Teal being in there, and the fact that the Peach, a lot of people forget, started as an Allman Brothers festival. That was
true.
A lot. Greg played there, Dickie, all these people. So there's definitely going to be a lot of Allman stuff in the air. So who knows? We might get at Fillmore East recreation by J-Rad. Who's
to say? And speaking of, they are also O'Teal and Friends is on the bill, as is, as you're saying, the Allman Betts Band and J-Mo and Friends. So still have that Allman Brothers history present. And then also a lot of like new up-and-coming jam bands. Basically all of them I can think of mm-hmm. are on this bill. We got Pigeons Playing Ping Pong, Twiddle, Spafford, Goose, Dopapod. I'm probably missing at
Brasco,
least one.
Aqueous.
Yep. Yeah.
This is one of those festivals that a lot of people say has a strong mid-card, and I'm doing finger quotations right now, which means obviously like the further you're running down here, it's like, oh, I like all these headliners, but I like the 10 bands underneath that. And that's who you're seeing during the day. That's who you're seeing late at night. That's who you're seeing when it's not super crowded on the main stage. And those are the people that are bringing the vibe.
Yeah.
So to see someone like Keller, I don't see it as a Keller Grateful Gospel, but I think that's still kind of up in the air. But even like a Ghost Light, the Nth Power with Jen Hartswick, Taz is there.
Nth Power with Jen Hartswick is the first band to be the even smaller font after the mid bill, which is just crazy to me because that's an incredible, that's going to be an incredible slot. And then we'd be remiss not to mention our very own Karina is on the bill.
Stoked.
So she will be in the cut at the Peach, which is very exciting.
So that means I will be there because I live to embarrass Karina in public forums. So I will be front row with probably a sign, and it's going to be great. I think I'll definitely go to the Peach. Jake, do you think it's in the cards for you?
I'm hopeful. I'm definitely hopeful. You know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. We'll see what the fish dates are like. I mean, obviously they're not going to be during Peach because Trey's at Peach, but well, I'll have to see how my weekends in the summer sort of lay themselves out.
True. Well, if you're looking at your calendar, Peach falls between July 2nd and 5th, 2020. You can ring in Independence Day right with your jamily. There will be fireworks every single night, which I thought was really cool. When the lineup first dropped, I was talking about it with people here at the office, and they were said, oh, the Slip is reuniting. That's another huge thing on the lineup here.
Oh, right.
So some of the older heads in the office were excited about the Slip. We're all talking about Oysterhead, and I'm like, yeah, and there's fireworks every night. And everyone's like, yeah, Raph. I mean, I guess. Yeah, and I was just like, I think that's really cool.
Yeah,
like,
well, I kind of didn't even register that it's the 4th of July weekend because the line, I wasn't even looking at the dates because I'm just drooling over the actual list of artists. But yeah, that will be nice. That's
and
a nice little touch.
Means, yeah, and I guess that means no fish at SPAC for 4th of July.
Yes. I think it seems like fish summer tour is going to be like a little later than it tends to typically start, just given Trey being here at the Peach, so. Well, but we'll see. You know, they could always, they always do some weird stuff.
Exactly. Perhaps feeding into the rumor mill, a late summer tour dead ending into a late August festival.
Yeah,
for fish.
Yeah. When you were mentioning the fireworks, I was thinking about the Magna Ball fireworks that brought that festival to a close. So hopefully, you know, I would love to have another fish festival, as we were all disappointed with the curveball situation. But we'll see. I'm hopeful.
Yeah. Well, as this train starts pulling into the station, we have time for a weekly shout out. Our weekly shout out gives our friends in the music industry the chance to give a little shine to what they're working on. So let's see who we have this week.
What's up, everybody? This is Jordan Fairless from Spafford, and you're listening to 3 from the 7. If you haven't yet, be sure to check out our latest release, The Chapel Jam. It's a 47-minute nonstop odyssey of musical exploration, and it's available everywhere you listen to music. We got a huge tour coming up for winter of 2020, and we're stopping by a city near you. We'll see you out there.
Thanks to Jordan from Spafford.
Yeah, Spafford, a personal favorite of mine, amazing quartet out of the Southwest.
And they'll be at Peach, right?
They will be at Peach.
They'll be at Peach.
They also just dropped, as Jordan said in that little clip, an awesome little jam from 2017. And they will be here in the great state of New York this February for 3 nights at the Brooklyn Bowl. Once again, I will be there front row with bells on. So a lot of exciting stuff happening in the Spafford world. A lot of exciting stuff happening in the jam world. Jake,
indeed.
We've come to the end of our road.
Yeah.
The three from the seven experience. How do you feel?
I feel good. I feel strong. I love holding a microphone, I gotta say. Every time I'm holding it, I feel important. Everything I say, you have to listen to. Look at that. So
you just did.
You have all the power. But seriously, thank you very much for having me on. I really appreciate it. Thank you very much, Karina, for not being here so that I could be on. Just kidding. Can't wait till you come back. Kinda. But seriously, thank you very much for having me on. And I really enjoy listening to this every week, so it was very cool privilege to actually be participating in it.
Well, thanks, bro. We share desks next to each other, so I will see you very soon.
Yes.
I just want to tell everybody before we close it up, don't forget to subscribe to the Relics Daily 7 at relics.com/daily, our free email newsletter. You can get all this news and more straight into your inbox, so when your boss thinks you're working, you can actually look at the Peach lineup. And subscribe to Relics Magazine. Our amazing 300th issue is out now. Mr. Robert Hunter on the cover, celebrating his life and work. We've got interviews with Goose, Garcia Peoples, Jefferson Airplane, the elusive Grace Slick did an interview with us for this one. So it's a fantastic issue. You can subscribe at relics.com/ripple. You know that amazing Grateful Dead song. And you can email me and Karina at raffandkarina@gmail.com. Sorry, Jake, you will not be involved in
that's
that.
That's okay.
Email.
You can email me at jake@relics.com.
Huge mistake. Have a good weekend, everybody. And I will see you all on Wednesday. Oh, there'll be a holiday episode, I should mention. Next week, next Wednesday, we'll celebrate the holidays. And then Karina and I will take some much needed time off for the holidays. But we will see you next Wednesday. Bye-bye.
Bye.